Holidays here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
And Libby Streetwise.
Get out!
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the Coastside. It's Friday, December 20th, 2019. Fill out a speaker slip and find a seat. It's time for some Coastal Windage.
Good morning, Jade.
Mojo. I think you got a toad in your throat there. Like, clear that out there. All right.
There's a cross between mojo and morning.
Yeah. Mojo in the morning. I know. It's morning here. Is a tough time for both of us.
I'm in the co-pilot seat with all this equipment around me. I'm not used to being down here, so.
I know. It is quite a cockpit of technology there.
Oh, yeah. But it's nice. It's a little smaller than back there on Mojo's throne.
Right.
But you do have a window, so I dig that.
Nice. And it's a porthole, too. I love the porthole window.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't figured it out, this is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the Coastside's number one live call-in talk radio show. We're here every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. on KHMB Radio 100.9 FM and rocking 1710 a.m. streaming live on KHMB Radio. Coastside issues, hot topics, and you and us. I'm Reuben Truthmaker. Truthmaker, that is. Mid-coaster, dad, futurist, and passionate iconoclast for the greater good. And with me this morning is Mr. Mojo Filter,
your
co-pilot seat, Mr. Mojo. Libby is out today. She will be back. She's going to be out the next 2 weeks, actually. So we're going to miss her. But she had some family business to take care of. She'll be back for our January 3rd show, when we're going to have a Shooting the Breeze live interview with Jenny Urban and Lele Keaton of Say Yes to the Dress. We had them on last year.
Yeah,
they're going to be our first ever live interview guest to come back for a second live interview, and they will be our first live interview of the new decade. That's right. We're winding up the teens. The teens are over. They're gone. They're done. It's going to be 100 years till we get back to them. And I'm just going to go out on a limb right now and say that, Mojo, you and I may not, we might not still be doing this radio show in 100 years. We might, but we might not.
I'm just wondering if we're going to have the roaring 20s like they had 100 years ago. I mean, there's predictions.
Let's just say I'm going to predict that the 20s are going to be a tumultuous decade. Whether that's a positive tumultuousness or negative, I don't know, but I think it's going to be a pretty wild ride. All right. If you missed this morning's show, download podcasts of our show from khmbradio.com. Go to khmbradio.com and hit the Listen Live button right now to hear us on the Internet live. Give us a call. This is a call-in talk radio show. We want to hear what you have to say. 560-9851, or as many listeners do, email us at coastalwindage@gmail.com. You're going to want to get on these communication pipes right now. Because
get on the pipe, the communication
pipe. Al Gore, the internet goes through a pipe.
Yeah, right? Get on the tubes right now. Because our concluding segment this morning is things I love about the Coastside. So
we're going to conclude that.
We do it from time to time. Yeah. It's a new segment. We got my favorite thing about the Coastside, where we ask people to send a call in or send emails telling us about their favorite things, and then we kind of riff off of that. So send us some ideas of your favorite thing about the Coastside. Okay, that's 560-9851, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Attendance. So we mentioned that Libby's going to be out of town for the next 2 weeks taking care of family stuff. I was looking back. I believe the calendar still has 52 weeks in a year. This next week will be our 44th show of the year. So if my math is correct, that means that other than our standard two-month break, 8 weeks, we did not miss a week of broadcast the entire year this year. We had 44 shows in 44 weeks of being on the air. To me, that's some pretty darn good attendance. We've got a good team here. We try to stay healthy, and we're committed, or we should be. So we're here every week, and we'll be here next week, 2 days after Christmas. Okay. But speaking of attendance, there was a curious Above the Fold article. Now, for millennials out there, Above the Fold refers to a newspaper when it's folded in half. The Above the Fold is where you put, is what you see when the newspaper is lying on a stack or in a dispenser.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so those are the important big articles. You put the big stuff above the fold, because that's what people see when they walk by. So there was an Above the Fold article in the paper today looking at the attendance of elected officials at public meetings along the coastline.
What paper?
Half Moon Bay Review.
Okay.
There's only the paper.
Well, right, okay.
You know. And in addition to the Above the Fold article about attendance of public meetings by elected officials, there was also an editorial from Clay Lambert, the editor of the Half Moon Bay Review, on the same topic. I just want to point out that meanwhile, though, an article documenting the cuts that have been approved by the Cabrillo Unified School District was below the fold. So for some reason, this article about attendance by public officials at public meetings was above the fold, but the cuts to our local school district below the fold. Anyways, I'm not sure what prompted the article. I have occasion to attend many public meetings per month for many years now, and I have never been struck by the lack of attendance by elected officials. Also, the quote evidence used to make the accounts of attendance that were presented in this article seem pretty unofficial to me, and they had to include 5 bullet points next to the article explaining the shortcomings in data and methodology. Again, I'm not really sure what has prompted this article, but I tell you the article they should have written based on my attendance at these public meetings, and that is an article about the lack of attendance by the public at these public meetings. Let me just give you an example, Mojo, while you sip your kombucha there. For 6 years, I had occasion, or I was required, to attend from 2012 to 2018 every meeting of the Cabrillo Unified School District Measure S Facilities Bond Citizens Oversight Committee.
Did you say you were required?
Yeah. For various reasons, my attendance was required at these meetings.
Yeah.
So I went.
Only if that was an alternative to prison would I go. It just does not appeal to me.
Well, okay. But this was the Citizens Oversight Committee for the $80 million CUSD Measure S Facilities Bond. So this is a Citizens Oversight Committee. You know, people would get all up in arms about, I don't want to pay a parcel tax. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay a bond measure. We don't know where it's going. It's being wasted. This is the Citizens Oversight Committee that watched where the money went and how it was spent. So they have 4 meetings a year, Monday nights at 6:30 p.m., 4 meetings a year. So that's 6 years. That's about 24, 25 meetings. Not one time, not one single member of the public came to one single meeting ever. And this was the Citizens Oversight Committee for an $80 million bond measure for the school district. Not one member of the public came ever. If you've ever watched the John Oliver show on HBO, a couple years ago he did a little segment on special districts, just like we have many special districts on the coastside here. And the point of the article is nobody ever comes to the meeting. And he showed a meeting where there were 2 or 3 of these commissioners of some, you know, mosquito abatement board or something. They were there. They were holding the meeting. Not one single member of the public there. They held the meeting anyways. That's what I see on the coastside. So I don't understand the focus of this article on attendance by the elected officials. It's the public that needs to turn out. Okay. And I'll just say this for elected officials. It is very hard to put your heart and soul into a position, maybe campaign, and put yourself out there and get elected. Study documents for hours before a meeting. Consider what you will say and the position you will take and how it will affect people. Say goodbye to your family for the evening. Go to the meeting ready to have a vibrant discussion and have 3 members of the public turn out. Meanwhile, on the same topic, there's 143 comments on Nextdoor of people chiming in with, yeah, me too, me too. When's the next meeting? And then nobody comes to the meeting. Folks, these meetings are where stuff happens. These are where decisions are made. These are where ideas are presented and discussed. And if you're not going to these meetings, then you have no basis to complain.
I'm one of those that did not attend, so I'd say you're hyper vigilant when it comes to politics relative to your, you know, typical person. But is there a way to maybe watch it online?
Yes, Pacific Coast TV has all of the Mid-Coast government meetings would be on TV.
Is it live?
No. No. It's, it usually takes 2 or 3 days for them to post it up there. So it's not live, but you can see the video. So if you can't go, you can watch the video and still see what was discussed. However, and that's something, and I'll do that from time to time as well. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this, though. There's no substitute for being in the room face-to-face with the decision-makers, letting them know how you feel, hearing what they say.
Yeah, but, I mean, just go all the way back to the Independence Hall. Not everybody was in the room. It was the people that were basically selected to be in the room, and then they would do their business and report back. I think you would be good at the guy that reports back. You can kind of summarize and maybe even suggest the way certain things should go for the common man.
And woman.
Well, I mean man like mankind.
I know.
Mankind.
I know. I'm just
like Neil Armstrong.
I'm just poking the bear over here, Mojo. Okay, we have a correction. So that's diatribe number one for the day. We have a correction. Believe it or not, sometimes we don't get things exactly right. Last week, I was going on and on about... Oh, last week... Well, I never go on and on. But last week, we had a segment on the top 10... media outlets or media sources on the Midcoast, and one of them was the Paw Print, which is the newspaper for the Half Moon Bay High School.
Yeah.
In my enthusiasm, I incorrectly stated the editor's name. I referenced Cameron Lemon, who was the editor last year.
Oh, got it.
But this year, this is a new year, and this year's editors are Mikkeli Mauricio and Jake Essen. So, sorry about that. Great job, Mikkeli and Jake. Keep it up. Mm-hmm. Okay, and one last thing. A couple weeks ago, you made a quote. We were talking about...
I made a quote?
You did. We were talking about Martin's Beach, and you threw out a nice little quote. You said, but Kosla don't surf. And so then we asked listeners, call in if you know what movie that line is from. You know, Mojo kind of amended the quote a little bit.
Yeah.
But, so we didn't have anybody call in. Actually, I had a couple of emails from people after the show. So we are just going to give it to people without having to ask people call in. And so Kosla Don't Surf is a riff on Charlie Don't Surf from the scene in Apocalypse Now where Robert Duvall lands on the beach. And Robert Duvall loves surfing.
Yeah.
And he, you know, there's bombs going off. And Robert Duvall's walking the beach looking at the brakes. And he's like, go get the surfboards, you know, like.
Yeah.
And he's like, go get the surfboards. We're going to get in.
Yeah.
And one of his soldiers goes, but Major, this is Charlie's beach. And Robert Duvall replies without missing a beat, Charlie, don't surf.
I now recall that. I would have not been able to pick that out.
Oh, one of my favorite movies. That movie is a masterpiece.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Truly.
Intro to topics. Here we go. Our topics for the day. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, Cabrillo Unified School District has announced the approved cuts, and it hurts. Okay, so we'll talk about that. Mojo, you know that spot, that restaurant spot in the harbor? That seems to be haunted.
I call it Crab La Ding.
Yeah, Crab La Ding. Yep.
Crab La Ding, yeah.
Well, somebody's making another go at it.
Wow.
Take six. We'll talk about that.
Mm.
And then we saw this on Next Door. Somebody is raising this old Coastside chestnut. Consolidate the Coastside? ? We'll talk about that.
Hey, speaking of restaurants, did you see walking in here what's going in below us here?
No.
Barbecue. They must have been listening to my diatribe a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Barbecue, craft beer, and fried chicken.
Oh, fried chicken. Hello.
So whoever you are, you need to talk to Mojo.
Yeah, really. I think we've got a new sponsor for the show and a caterer for the morning's activities. Okay.
Oh, thanks for listening.
All right. Consolidate the Coastside. That is the idea that rather than have City of Half Moon Bay, unincorporated Midcoast communities, all these different special districts, that we just make this one big city.
From like Pacifica.
To Half Moon Bay. Okay, and then my favorite thing about the Coastside is how we'll wrap up the show. If you've got a favorite thing, share it with us. Send me an email, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Call in 560-9851. Tell us your favorite thing, and then we'll discuss that at the end of the show. All right? Everybody else gives you traffic and weather. I can hardly keep my eyes open listening to that, but we give you the important stuff, the stuff you breathe, the air quality report. We get it from airnow.gov.
Ooh.
All right, today in Half Moon Bay, 44, which is still in the good range. 0 to 50 is good. 51 to 100 is moderate. We're at 44 today, which is good, right? Still in the good. But we were 12 last week. 12. So that was just pure nectar last week. It's also 44 today in Redwood City. They were 13 last week. So their quality is not as good this week. But down in Santa Cruz, check it out. It's 19. 28 yeah. last week, yeah. 19 this week. So if you need some pure oxygen or yeah. some cleaner air, drop on down to Santa Cruz today.
So my friends sent me their weather report. They're in Alpine Meadows right now. Mm-hmm. Air quality is 8.
Oh.
yeah.
I can feel, I can smell the mm-hmm. the pine. I can feel that, those ice crystals. Yeah. Oh, man, that just kind of...
Beauty.
Yeah, really kind of lifted my spirits there just thinking about Alpine.
Yeah, that's nice.
All right, we got a couple of emails that came in during the week here. This one is from listener Darwin Salamanca. Oh, you know what? We've got a new thing that has been very helpful. One of our interns, I'll have to find out who it was. One of our interns came up with a great idea. You know, I like to see a paper printout of the emails. I like to have a piece of paper in my hand, so they print them out off the printer. But I really never know what the email is before I start reading it, which could be kind of a problem. So one of these brilliant interns has put in a subject line on the top of each email, so I know what it's referring to. So this, let's see how this goes. Okay, this is from listener Darwin Salamanca, R.E. Flat Earthers. Okay, so this is regarding flat earthers. I consider myself an inquisitive, open-minded, curious person, but I truly cannot understand the flat earth argument. Kennedy assassination, multiple shooters, Patsy cover-up, sure. Moon landing shot in a sound studio in Century City? Could be. But a grand, global, centuries-long conspiracy to trick people into thinking the Earth is round? How? Why? For what reason? Maybe you could interview a flat earther for your live interview show. Okay, Darwin Salamanca, if you find somebody willing to admit to this belief and willing to go on live radio and defend it, let us know where to send the limo to pick them up, and we'll send the KHMB limo around and pick this person up and have them in on our very next show, because I don't get it either.
Yeah.
All right, this one is from listener Head Honcho. This is regarding the Parklet pilot project. This is this idea that Half Moon Bay has, that they want to put some tables and landscaping and chairs out in parking spaces on the asphalt on Main Street.
Yeah, eat on the street.
Right. All right, so Head Honcho writes, I like the idea of I think the idea of favoring one retail store over others on Main Street is a bad, bad idea. Plus, I have lived here since 81 and have seen the Planning Commission over and over again give variances, waivers to new businesses. Perhaps the ordinance calls for providing 3 parking spaces and they let businesses get by with 2. This has helped to put us in a terrible bind with parking in this town. And now they want to take away parking spaces and give it to a business to expand their operation? No way. Let me just pause on the email and remind folks that when we discussed this last week and we looked at the documents from Half Moon Bay Planning, the committee they have looking at this, one of the data points that they cited was this parking study that found that there was a glut of parking spaces on Main Street, and parking was not an issue. And here we have Head Honcho saying that he continues, no way, those parking spaces are gold when it comes to the merchants of Main Street. So this idea that there's too much parking or there's an excess of parking, there's a disconnect. There seems to be a disconnect on the study performed by City of Half Moon Bay and, I guess, what merchants on Main Street feel. And continuing with this email, and the final one concerns the potential for breaking the law. It is against the law to drink alcohol on the street. This business has a liquor license, and I can see on Friday nights, for example, of people drinking in the street sidewalk area. It is just a bad idea, period. Okay. I mean, that's a good point I hadn't thought of. If you're drinking alcohol, like, on the street, that doesn't seem like the right method.
You know, a lot of places, remember Two Fools? That's before your time, I guess. I think there's a place called Shay Shay there now, or is there going to be something? Shay Shay's already gone.
Oh, Shay Shay.
But there is a place outside, but it's in the back. It's real nice. It's like a little, I don't know, a patio garden, euphemistically. So these places have their own thing. The street is so small as it is. I don't even like driving down it sometimes because the truck's sticking out from both sides, and you got FedEx over here. But I will say, once I get out on the street, I've last couple of days after school, we've been walking up and down the street and having a great time and seeing things that I didn't even know were there. But, yeah, I don't know about taking up more of the street for retail. Maybe a side street, you know, or a big parking lot somewhere.
I'm with Head Honcho here, and for a variety of reasons, it just doesn't seem like a good idea. And I went and listened to our show last week, and one of our emails talked about this isn't Santa Barbara. You know, we really don't have the weather for a whole sidewalk, atmosphere type thing. What would be nice is if we had all these shops that were open, and you would come in from the cold, you know, foggy wetness into a nice warm shop and have that with some tea, you know, smell of tea or something. That's kind of Half Moon Bay Main Street. We're not Santa Barbara State.
Right. I'll tell you what I like about the street, I like that places like San Benito has live music. There's a reason to go there. I'm not shopping. I might be having a beer. I might be having a sandwich. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to hang out and talk, sit at the bar. I'm going to sit in there with the music. I'm going to dance. That, to me, is a draw. Just like a movie theater would be a draw. So I think there maybe is more out there than I know about, but that particular thing is important to me, that there's live music.
Yep, I know you're a live music guy. All right, Cabrillo Unified School District cuts to the bone. I mean, cuts to the bone, that's a little over the top, but this one, Mojo, you and I both have children in the district.
Yeah, I just saw Barnes's, the principal's email this morning, just actually.
Right, so the principal has sent out an email because there's some harsh cuts, okay? Mm-hmm. So even with the passage of Measure I parcel tax, which was passed in November, the board approved $2.6 million in cuts last year. We talked about this many times. Their total budget is only $34 million a year, so when you're cutting out $2.6 million out of $34 million, that's going to instantly be felt. Now, I'm a little annoyed because I went to the Cabrillo Unified School District website. There's not one mention of these cuts or this decision, this board meeting. You can't get the minute.
Well, they just made it Thursday.
I'm sorry. No, I mean, Thursday, yesterday? No, it was before that. It was earlier this week.
Oh, Barnes said, well, yesterday was Thursday. That's, I don't know.
So
at least Wednesday. In his email. I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's the electronic age. Why aren't these minutes up there? Why isn't there some article on their website, hey, we made these decisions. I don't like it. Okay, so I understand cuts have to be made, but they're being made at the expense of our children's future. Okay, diatribe number two for the day. Just get your pillow out. Hold on.
Pillow.
Sure, cuts have to be made, but they're being made at our expense of our children's future. I hear people nonstop complaining about taxes. We're being taxed for this, taxed too much for that, blah, 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 blah. I want to ask people out there, how much money do people spend on professional sports every year? Going to games, buying jerseys, buying the, you know, NFL prime ticket, whatever. The sports industry, the players, the owners, everything else, the marketers, they make millions a year, just more than they can spend, a ridiculous amount of money. And we waste our money paying their salaries instead of paying our teachers' salaries. We'd rather spend $500 to go see a football game than spend that money on a parcel tax or something for our children's education.
Is that something? I've never done that. I've been to one 49ers game in 20 years.
Well, I'm choosing sports because of the next thing we're going to talk about. But choose your poison. It could be other kinds of content. Okay, what I'm saying is people are making a decision that they want to spend their money on other stuff. They don't want to spend it on the things that support our infrastructure, our government, and our children's education. And then they complain that there's not enough money for the children's education. So the reason I mentioned sports is because the number one thing on the cut list for CUSD is Cunha after-school sports program to be defunded, down to zero. Not cut, not slashed.
From what down. What was it?
We don't know what it is because we don't have the document.
Okay, so, go ahead.
So be cut to zero, which means that this is going to be all done by parents and the boosters. It's going to, all this funding is going to have to come from parents and boosters. So I say again to people that don't want to pay taxes, you're going to pay it one way or the other. And you get a lot more, it's a lot more efficient to pay taxes. You get a lot more bang for the buck out of taxes than you do paying it out and writing a check out of your account to some organization. Okay, not to say the boosters isn't bad. We obviously are going to need them going forward. So the after-school sports program to be cut to zero budget. Now, I have a child in that in Cunha who played sports, and I helped coach that team. And I will say to you this. That is a serious blow because these sports programs at Cunha in particular are really important to the kids. There are kids that choose to go to Cunha because of these sports programs. And I have been seen firsthand in working with kids in on this team that I coached how important it is to them. They really, they enjoy it. It's a moment of happiness in their life. They learn things both about themselves and sports. It's an important thing, and I just am really crushed that that's the thing that got defunded down to zero, and now it's all on parents to come up with funding on their own. Okay, also to be cut, though, let's not just grieve for Cunha after-school sports. Reduce funding for high school sports. Fifth grade music, Mojo, this is near to fifth grade music. Adios. No longer.
Wait, fifth grade is not at Cunha.
No, but it's a music program for children and no longer.
Okay.
Kindergarten enrichment. See ya. Science specialist position. Science. I mean, what's that? We got flat earth. We don't need science. That's gone. District custodial supervisor position. Nope. And
wait, they got rid of the custodian.
They got rid of the supervisor.
Well,
but also they're reducing the number of psychologists and custodians. One, I don't like how they've conflated those two things. And two, yeah, you know, I think if we look around at what we could use less of at a, especially in the school system, psychologists and custodians, because we want, you know, more troubled kids and more trash. That would be a great thing to have. I understand cuts have to be made. I guess I'm complaining to society at large. Like, where are your priorities? We're to this point right now because of the priorities of the last 40 years since 1978. Why do I cite that? Anybody have an idea? Give me a call, 560-9851. 1978 is the year I cite as the beginning of the decline.
Okay, so I'm not going to go there because I'm going to let a caller come in and go there. But I do want to say that everybody voted for the extension of the last, I think it was Measure I.
It was not an extension. It was a new one because it replaced the old one, which was expiring.
But in essence, it extended the fee that we would continue to pay. So I think everybody did the right thing at that point. And there wasn't any other things for them to do. It wasn't like, I want to give a little bit of extra money. So I think the voters did the right thing. I think the average guy knows that education is important. And at the teacher appreciation lunch, about a month ago, there was someone there, in fact, I wish she would call in and clarify these numbers for me. I'm going to say her name is Amy, and her last name starts with a B. So if
Amy B,
Amy
if you're
B,
listening.
Call me and help me with these numbers. But I think what she said was it would take $85,000 to get these programs to happen. And she
programs?
Goes, yeah, she goes, we'll raise it. We'll get it. And I felt, I'm easily coached, and I was immediately like, all right, cool, let's go. And now she said the high school is a lot different. It's like $400,000. It's some huge number, but they didn't get erased. They just got reduced. But I think one of the reasons they could go to sports and say, look, we feel like the parents are going to fill in here because they will back sports and they'll put up the money, and the ones that can, they're going to give more. Really, to get $85,000, you only need 85 people to give $1,000, and you're there. You're done. Now, you could go to some other numbers and get that, too. Oh, I'm getting Amy B's looking for me.
Amy B, 560-9851. While she thinks about dialing that, why don't we take our commercial break?
All right.
And then that'll give Amy B a chance to consider whether she really wants to wade into the Viper's pit here. 560-9851. Amy B, we're talking about cuts to Cabrillo Unified School District. Think about that while you listen to these wonderful ads. Coastal Windage on KHMB. We'll be right back.
This is Bob Kay. You probably know me as the owner of BK Motors, the Coastside's only consignment auto and truck dealer. But I'm really excited to be on the radio today to tell you about my brand new business, Public Storage at BK Motors, a storage facility behind BK Motors and next to Strawflower Shopping Center. We've got 8x10 storage units, and we've got 8x20 storage units. If you would like to learn more about the cost and availability of these storage units, give me a call at 726-8220 or visit us at bkmotors.com. So now, whether you need to sell or buy a pre-owned car or light truck, or you need somewhere to store your extra stuff, give me a call, Bob K, at 726-8220.
This is Jason Peters, along with my wife, Angela.
We would like to take this time to wish everyone the very best of the holidays.
We just recently celebrated our first year of owning Phil's Tire Pros and Auto Care. We have been so blessed with great customers and the support of our community.
So from all of us at Phil's Tire Pros and Auto Care, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Drive safe. See you soon.
Phil's Tire Pros has you covered with the name brand tires you trust at the lowest prices guaranteed. Like Michelin, the number one choice of premium car manufacturers because of their precise and perfect feel. Phil's Tire Pros. Installing peace of mind.
This is Sandy. I just wanted to take a moment to wish a Merry Christmas to all and a safe and prosperous New Year.
Hello, this is Ileana, one of Dr. Shepherd's hygienists, wishing you much peace and happiness to all our patients and listeners.
Hi, this is Chris, and I am wishing everyone out there a happy New Year and happy holidays.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd and my mother, Carol.
We would like to take a moment to thank all our patients for their support this past year.
And from our family to your family, we wish you all a happy holiday and a very happy New Year.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. Phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
This is Jim Holtzman of Coastside Technical Service. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish our friends, customers, and everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday.
We are Coastside Technical Services. If you don't have heat or your water's cold, your washer won't spin or your dryer's just old, give us a call at Coastside Technical.
Okay, and we're back. Believe it or not, we are back. We did come back. Coastal Windage here. Ruben Truthmaker with Mr. Mojo Filters. All right, we got to roll on to the next thing. There's another. So we've got this haunted space in the harbor.
The
elevated circular space in the harbor.
Oh, got it.
Right. But that has been a restaurant many,
many restaurants.
Many times. Right. People say it's haunted. Guess what? There's another restaurant coming in. I think there have been six restaurants in this space since the mall opened in about 2006. Although I said somebody told me eight. I could only count six. Here we go. Giveaway offer this morning. This is a special offer here on Coastal Windage. I have in my hand two VIP passes to the next Blue Blanket Improv show. I believe it's the 9th or 10th of January here in Half Moon Bay. These are the premium VIP passes, more than $30 value. These go to the next caller. I have them in my hand right here. The next caller who can name all six, including the new one, which doesn't have an exact name, but if you get it close, we'll give it to you. All six, including the new one, restaurants that have been in that space in the harbor. We're talking about the second floor circular space in the harbor in the mall. If you can name all six, you get these incredible Blue Blanket Improv VIP.
You know, we tried this once before when it was five, and I don't think we even had a winner. So,
we'll see. Maybe people, you know, these, but were we offering these incredible VIP?
Well, that's
VIP
true.
Passes?
The carrot that we are holding out right now is
I can barely lift.
Amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, but we've talked about. I don't understand. It's such a great location. I love going to eat in that space. But what we've heard is it's, the inside is not efficient, and that's true.
I mean, there's some things about it I like, but it's almost like two restaurants. You know, it's like this lounge bar and then this, you know, upstairs.
So we've seen a few issues with this running this restaurant here. One, that people have talked about the inside space is not great. Previous iterations of restaurants in there have had problems with the space, their chef, their menu. But those aren't really the issue, in my opinion. The issue here is the same old Coastside Parlor game we always play. With only 29,000 locals in an economy built on tourism, how does a restaurant or a tourist shop survive on a rainy Tuesday in February? You know, that's the riddle that you have to solve. So you have to figure out how to appeal to locals, and we have some restaurants here in the Coastside that have figured that out. The Moss Beach Distillery, Miramar Beach Restaurant. Here's another problem with what's been going on with restaurants in that space. I don't understand it, but the last three have tried the soft opening where it seems like they're under construction, but part of it's open and people don't even know. The name of the restaurant is even clearly labeled, or it's a cardboard sign pasted in the window.
Well, it's very possible they don't know what they're doing.
Well, this is what I'm getting to, right. So if you're going to have a restaurant in a difficult spot like this, I'm sorry, you need to go all in with a real business plan that assumes no profit for at least a year. Like, you got to make a commitment here. These, like, soft openings where we're going to go 2 or 3 months and see what happens, you are destined to fail. We also heard that the rent is incredibly steep, upwards of $25,000 per month. So you have to have an actual business plan. And here's another thing, ideas. Do not have this soft opening. A slow, soft opening presents a lack of clarity about the type of food, the date of the opening, even the name of the restaurant, okay? You're not building any kind of buzz with a soft opening.
Yeah.
You need to have a big, you know, have a marketing campaign for a month before you're going to have your big grand opening. Build a buzz. Let people know what the name of this place is.
Is that part of Half Moon Bay? Is it part of the cherry stem?
No, I think the cherry stem goes up to the harbor, but which includes like Sam's and that strip along there.
Right.
I don't know how far their hooks are into the actual harbor area.
Because if I'm not mistaken, most of that is owned by one group, the land, the hotel, the land out front.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to turn a maximum profit, they probably are best if it's got tenants, but it really doesn't have tenants. So it makes me think that it really isn't about maximizing a profit. That big chunk of land is probably just a tax write-off. And a lot of cities do require a certain level of occupancy, or they're going to take your right, you're going to revoke your right to operate. I don't know that that would happen, but if there's no incentive for them to maximize, if they're just sitting there trying to get a paper break, those things are going to sit empty. Oh, there he's calling right now.
And if we look at the mall over the years, it seems pretty obvious that's what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a phone call. Let's see who we've got this morning. All right, this is Coastal Windage with Ruben Truthmaker and Mr. Mojo Filters. Who we got this morning?
It's Penny P.
Penny P, one of our most prolific callers. What's up, Penny?
I heard you called me out a couple of weeks ago about these flat earthers.
Well, you're going to have to tickle my memory bone here. Called you out? We would never call out a listener to Coastal Windage. We might call you if you gave us your home number. Don't do that. We might actually call you during the show. But, that's an idea. Mojo, we might have to try that. Anyways, Penny, so we called you out. What did we call you out on?
Yeah, I don't have a landline. No, but you referenced me in the Flat Earthers debate on how I should call in and we should have some lively debate.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. Sure.
So I yield the rest of my time, Mr. Speaker, on that subject.
Penny yields back her time. Okay.
And then I have eaten at one of those restaurants that you were speaking of a couple minutes ago, but I can't remember the name of it, but they had really good ribs. And we used to go there.
That's great if you can't remember the name of it.
I bet it
was. Well, I mean, it was many years ago, so.
Well, if it was ribs, I know exactly what restaurant it was. There's only been one restaurant that served ribs in there.
California Comfort Food was their tagline. What was the name of that place?
Well, I can't give it because we've got VIP passes on the line here. I can't give out any names right now because that might be the one people don't have.
That could be the give me. We could slowly give away hints.
Well, I'm going to list them out at the end of the show. So if people have to the end of the show to get these passes, give me a call. Penny, do you have any guesses? You're on the line now. You got first shot at it. Six.
No, that's okay. I yield the rest of my time, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, well, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. And thanks for remembering more of the show than Mojo and I do. All right, thanks, Penny.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Okay, you too. All right.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, and I'm pretty sure Penny calls from out of state. I can't remember exactly, but I don't think she's local to the coastline, but she comes and visits a lot. Okay, last short story, then we got to get to consolidation. Ay, 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 New Leaf sold to new owners. Our local organic community grocery store, New Leaf.
Wait, it was sold before, so it's sold again.
Yeah, and it's corporate. It has a corporate owner now, New Seasons Market. Well, they've sold out to, the swamp. Okay, follow me on this. Get out your pencil and your diagram. This is truly the swamp. I joke about how there's only four companies in the entire world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, guess what? New Leaf Market, owned by New Seasons Market, which is now owned by Good Food Holdings, which is owned by E-Mart, which is owned in part by the Shinsgae Group, mother and son Korean billionaires, the government of Singapore, the Vanguard Group, and BlackRock Fund Advisors. That's who owns your local organic grocery store. So, say goodbye to the idea of supporting your local community store. When private equity firms like Vanguard and BlackRock are involved, this is NBA culture on steroids, which means that every cost will be cut to the bone to ensure max profits for the investors. That's what business is these days, max profits for the investors, zero connection to local communities anymore. The deal is expected to be final in January 2020, no purchase price disclosed. Government of Singapore, go easy on us.
So let me make the people from Oregon that bought New Leaf about a year ago, that company just got bought.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So they didn't just come in and pick out New Leaf.
No,
that's what
they
I was hoping.
That, but when you have equity firms involved, there's nothing is off limits. Everything has just got a price tag on it, and it's just a piece to be moved around and sold off. And the people that live in the communities affected by the sales of these businesses, they can just lump it, I guess. So that's us lumping it. All right, Consolidate the Coastside. Speaking of lumping it, so Consolidate the Coastside, this is the idea that instead of having the city of Half Moon Bay with its planning department and its public works department and its parks and rec, and then you've got the Midcoast, which is, you know, five unincorporated communities that are under county control, but that also have a bunch of county LAFCO districts like Granada Community Services District and the Harbor District and Montero Water and Sanitary District. So there's all these overlapping spheres of influence in different organizations. And so people have the idea, well, let's just clean this all up and have it just be one big city from Montero to Half Moon Bay, and it will we'll have some efficiency of scale, I guess, right? Well, this is a classic coastside chestnut, this idea of consolidating the coastside. And it usually comes up after a bottle or two of wine past midnight on a Saturday night, because it's one of those kinds of discussions. And what I'm saying is it's really just a theoretical discussion. Mm-hmm. It's never, ever going to happen for a variety of reasons, which we're about to get into. So let's get into that. All right. So one of the reasons it's never going to happen is the two groups, the two geographic areas, don't really like each other that much, at least on a political
scale. Can you define those?
Yes, I would call those two groups the Midcoast, which is north of Medio Creek. So from, basically from the barn north to Montero, that's the Midcoast, the unincorporated Midcoast, including the five communities of Miramar, El Granada, Princeton, Moss Beach, and Montero. That's the Midcoast, the unincorporated Midcoast. That's county territory.
What's Pacifica? Just so I can...
Pacifica is an incorporated city like Half Moon Bay.
Okay.
Okay, so a city of Half Moon Bay is incorporated. They have their own government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for most Half Moon Bay residents, the idea of consolidating with the Midcoast is just beneath their consideration. They consider Midcoasters provincial rubes, and no thought given to Midcoast issues and concerns. I cite a topic that we discussed last month about the stoplight that's going in at Terrace Avenue here, right just north of the high school on Highway 1.
Really? They're going to put a light?
They're going to put a light in there. And
you mean where the two lanes go to one?
Yep.
Why does it need a light?
City Manor, because there's 40 houses or 60 houses going in on Terrace. So
that's going to back up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But City Manager Bob Nesbitt, his quote was when said, well, there's going to be, if you put a light there, there's going to be a big backup. You know, there's already a big backup. Right. What's going to happen?
Right.
He's like, well, when we put a light there, we understand that that's going to cause problems, but it's going to move the problem further north up Highway 1, so dot, dot, dot. That's the kind of attitude.
But I mean, he's inaccurate. The problem will be the two lanes going to one, which are already slow. They basically have to cut their speed in half. But now you're actually going to bring them to a halt. And they're going to sit there, and they're going to back up all the way into that light that's right in front of them. And then those people are going to gridlock that intersection. What's going
to
happen.
What City Manager Nesbitt was referring to, though, is that he sees most of the traffic. Those are all people going to the Midcoast. And so that's what I mean by this attitude. It doesn't really matter. They're going to the Midcoast. So inconvenience is less important than making sure we have the infrastructure for these 40 luxury houses going in at the end of Terrace.
See, the people I know in, say, El Granada, Moss Beach, they want nothing to do with Half Moon Bay. They consider Half Moon Bay mismanaged. And when they went and remember when they had that big giant lawsuit and they almost went bankrupt? That's when a lot of people wanted El Granada to become part so they could share in the cost of that. And everybody up there was just like, absolutely not.
Well, right. So for mid-coasters, the idea of consolidation is fighting words for exactly the reason that you specify. If in the ideas of mid-coasters, if we were to be consolidated with Half Moon Bay, we would still be getting short shrift like we do with the county. We would be in the far-flung reaches of Half Moon Bay's empire.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just have the same kind of philosophy that the county does, right? A mercantilist attitude, which is just exploit, take out of that area and put as little back in as you can. That's what the county does. I'm sure the county's running a net positive on their tax revenue versus amount of money they spend on
the county?
Yeah.
The county of San Mateo, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they're running a net positive on that. And so, you know, they're fine with the way things are. And City of Half Moon Bay would be doing the same thing. If they consolidated, the very first thing they do would be latch onto the water supply that Montero Water and Sanitary has spent their own money on for decades. Mm-hmm. They would have that.
Yeah.
And they would just be taking tax revenue and doing nothing for the Midcoast, kind of like the county does. So what can we do? Midcoasters, they see Half Moon Bay as a swamp of landed insiders who continually make poorly reasoned missteps that result in huge lawsuits like Wavecrest. The whole Miramontes Creek Bridge thing, Kehoe Ditch, the high school track project. You know, just it's an endless number of things that Midcoasters see going on in Half Moon Bay and don't want any part of it. So this is just a theoretical discussion because the county doesn't want it to happen, as I mentioned. They've got this, I'm sure they've got more tax revenue coming in than the money they put into this. Also, county is fine to pour their money into the hub of the Coastside Half Moon Bay, the new library, the event center, the proposed community swimming pool, the public health services. All of this has been at least funded by 50% by county. And where are these facilities? In the city of Half Moon Bay. Does the Midcoast have a community center? No. Does the Midcoast have a community swimming pool? No. Does the Midcoast have a library or a library annex? No. Does the Midcoast have an indoor basketball court? No. Okay? All of these things that county funded in large amounts, millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars, are all in the city of Half Moon Bay. Midcoasters see that. They see the writing on the wall. So what can be done here? You know, one thing I would ask when people consider consolidation, who's proposing it? And what are their, you know, the speech that Donald Sutherland gave in the movie JFK, where they're sitting at the mall there by the Lincoln Memorial. And he says, you know, when asking what's going on with this Kennedy assassination conspiracy, who benefits? Who has motive? Who has opportunity? Mm-hmm. Who benefits? And when people are asking proposing consolidation, you need to ask those questions of that person. All right. So, and I don't see it happening. Here's another reason I don't see it happening. The Midcoasters don't want it. I don't think people of Half Moon Bay want it. The county doesn't want it. What if the Midcoast and City of Half Moon Bay, what if from Montero to Pescadero and the ocean to skyline, what if that was just a new county? What if we became our own little tiny new county? And now we have local control and we can work things out ourselves here. Well, of course, that's never going to be allowed to happen. San Mateo County would never let this cash cow get peeled off of them. All right. If somebody wants to call in and correct me on my numbers here or my thinking on how much money San Mateo County is making off the Midcoast, please feel free. 560-9851. Here's the last thing I'll say on this, though. It's just a theoretical discussion because it's never going to happen because it's just too big of a lift to happen in our current political climate. There's just no way the amount of pieces that need to be moved around and agreements that need to be made, it's not going to happen. Okay? In 2011, the Midcoast Community Council requested LAFCO, which is the Local Agency Formation Commission. It's a county, a state organization that kind of oversees these special districts like Montero, Warner, and Sanitary District. Anyways, the MCC requested that the county run a study to kind of see what it would look like if the Midcoast became incorporated. And LAFCO got involved. And LAFCO responded that traditionally, when unincorporated areas wish to conduct an incorporation or annexation study, they establish their own committee consisting of local residents who are responsible for raising local funds to hire a consultant. So in addition to getting everybody on the same page philosophically and politically, now you got to raise your own money to do your own studies to figure out whether you can incorporate. So nobody's going to do that. Politics too toxic. Society balkanized. So
when we moved here 20 years ago, we bought a house in El Granada. And the realtor said, you know, a lot of people, because I commented, a lot of the streets were gravel. And he said, yeah, they like it that way because it cuts down on the traffic. And I said, oh, yeah. And I started, the dogs are sleeping in the street. And I kind of like that. I like having the country. And he mentioned something about, you should run for mayor of Half Moon Bay. And I said, why? He said, because nobody knows you. So you're a friend to everybody as you come in. And I said, well, I'm not really into politics. And he goes, well, if you ever want anything done, that's going to be the way to get it done. And he gave me the example of those apartments that sit in the sand down there in the cul-de-sac. If you look up and down the coast, that's the only thing sitting in the sand. And I guess the guy tried to get that passed. It didn't pass. Tried, and it didn't pass. Ran for office, got in, passed his own bill, and then quit. And then went back to build his condos. So I don't like that kind of stuff. And I got a feeling that's how a lot of this stuff works. And I don't even want to be around people that do it. I'm willing to fight against the people that are messing it up for me. But until I get mad about something, it's going to take a lot to get me off center.
Well, that's an attitude that a lot of Midcoasters express. Like, we just don't want to be involved in the swamp of politics and bad decisions that we see going on down in Half Moon Bay. And again, Half Moon Bay feels like, you know, Midcoasters are, you know, just kind of country bumpkins up here that they don't need to worry about. And this is an interesting thing, though. If you were to have, like, a scale from, like, you know, that measured, like, hot to cold or something.
Yeah.
As you leave Half Moon Bay and you travel up Highway 1 through the five unincorporated Midcoast communities, it's almost a linear progression. The further up the Highway 1 to Montero you get, the more libertarian the attitude is. By the time you get to Montero and some of the like back parts of Montero, you know, I feel like I'm in the middle of Montana or something. It's a libertarian scale that increases greatly as you drive up Highway 1.
It's interesting to me how unique each area is. When we first moved here, I thought it was just Half Moon Bay. And then I asked one of the waiters, he goes, oh, no, we people work here live in El Granada. It's got the Banana Belt, I think they called it.
Yep.
And then up the road was this little town with 200 people called Moss Beach.
Yep.
And then up was Montero and then all these little communities. But my first introduction was from somebody that lived in Belmont. And I said, yeah, we're thinking about moving or looking over the hill. And he goes, oh, no, that's just a fog bank, and that's where all the crazy people live. So to the people over the hill, everybody up and down the coast is a bumpkin, not just
right.
compared
that's,
to Hebble
that's
Bay.
That's definitely true. That's,
right.
Which is why we should just have our own county over here. Like, let, you know, let's just do it.
I like them to think we're bumpkins. Just leave us alone. That's kind of my attitude.
Right, and so if we could have local control and power, we're all set.
You know,
leave us alone. Leave us out of it.
Would you want to run for mayor or any of that stuff?
No.
Mr. Haney?
Okay. Well, we got some emails that have come in now. Okay. This one's from Vanishing Point, Ari Newleaf. I am really distressed to hear about Newleaf changing ownership. This store has been such a blessing to our family the last 10 years or so because the local Safeway is so horrible. I guess nothing good lasts forever. All right, it's...
What's wrong with Safeway?
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started on that. I would say... Vanishing Point. I would say this. It's yet to be seen what changes we're going to see as customers. But I would say, again, when equity firms and foreign governments own your local organic supermarket, the community spirit is kind of lost there. And don't forget Midcoasters anyways. You always have Spanglers and the Pacifica Safeway, which is a bazillion times better. Okay, now this one is from Montera Strong. Oh, Montera Strong. RE Consolidation. Oh, boy, get ready. This ought to be good. I'd rather join the state of Jefferson than the city of Half Moon Bay. Whoa, laying down the gauntlet on the first line. It must be something in the water down there, but they just can't seem to get out of their own way. The county isn't great either, but I don't trust Half Moon Bay to treat the Midcoast fairly. Better the devil you know. I mean, it's just, why aren't the Midcoast and the city of Half Moon Bay closer partners? I think it's because, I'm just going to say, in all the meetings I've been to, in the documents, a general feeling, this is just a general feeling, I feel like there's a little bit of arrogance on the part of the city of Half Moon Bay that they kind of feel like they're a real city. They've got, you know, a city council that makes decisions, that they're more of a real government, or they're more real than the Midcoast. And so I just feel like there's a sense of superiority and arrogance about the city of Half Moon Bay when they think of the
Midcoast. Well, then why were they trying to get the Midcoast to join Half Moon Bay?
They want the water. They want the resources.
Oh.
They want the resources. It's a mercantilist attitude. Okay, let's move on to something positive. My favorite thing about the Coastside, I love this new feature we do where we get people to, and we've got several emails that have come in with their people's favorite things about the Coastside. Let's run through them. I love this one. Yarn adornment of fixtures in El Granada. Have you seen this, Mojo?
Yeah, I have. I like it.
People have put little yarn... booties on the post office boxes, and the lamp posts have
stop signs,
yarn collars.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
A wonderful bit of frippery and fantasy that is just, that's the kind of thing I mm-hmm. love about a small community. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who's doing it, and they just appear, and every once in a while you see a new one, it brings a smile to your face. Yes.
Is there more in Midcoast than there is in Half Moon Bay?
I've only seen them in El Granada, actually.
Yeah, so I think Midcoast are winning in that.
Midcoast won! Half Moon Bay, zero. Oh, this looks like another Midcoast one. Great blue herons in Murata Surf.
Oh, yeah. All the time. Yeah.
I think we've mentioned on the show before, great blue heron mm-hmm. is kind of sacred animal in our household. When we see one, we say, oh, there's a good luck charm. I'll have to see who sent this in, but there. When I drive to work in the morning or I come home and I see a great blue heron by the side of the road just standing there, it just really lifts my spirit. So good call on that one. Let's see.
Well, I'll just read it to you. Okay. Somebody just sent a text. They said the number to save Cunha Athletics is 80 grand. So I only need 80 people with 1,000 apiece.
Okay, so 80,000 is what we need. We're going to need by basically August of next year. We need 80 grand. So okay. There you go. Thank you for that. Who sent us them?
I can't give out their number.
Okay, no worries.
Yeah.
Okay, here we continue on with favorite thing. Night of Lights and 4th of July. I think the person's referring to either the parade or the whole events around that. Sure, absolutely. These are Main Street. This is kind of classic Americana. Main mm-hmm. Street parades, 4th of July, yeah. Night of Lights. Oh, here's in the... Yeah, this one's great, too. Fall sunsets. We had one last night that was pretty incredible. It was just mm-hmm. on that golden California sunset.
Did you see the sunrise this morning?
Who are pink you, and who blue. Who are you talking to?
Mike? Oh, God.
Did I see the sun rise?
Oh, man.
No.
No, I had my bed, so I when I opened my eye, that's when I mean, yeah.
You got your feng shui.
Pink and, oh, it was beautiful. Just absolute. We should have a website. We can post these things that we're talking about so they can see them.
Yeah.
And they can comment and say, what a great.
We have links to documents and stuff. Yeah. Well, let's work on that. That's a good idea. Fresh crab right off the boat. Yes. Oh, somebody's listening to our show. The air quality. Yes. And you know exactly what it is because we give you the air quality every morning. People running to the beach in wetsuits and bare feet carrying their surfboards. Right. Yeah. Because we're a beach town, I guess. People, you see them running across that Surfers Beach where they look like they've run out of their apartment or something. They're running past the post office with their surfboard and their bare feet on the way to the ocean.
Yeah, but I think that's the technique.
I mean, that's a cool thing.
That's how you do it.
Right. Yeah. Quarry Park. Yep.
You're stoked.
Definitely.
Get out there.
Quarry Park is an amazing thing to have. The Posh Moon. That's a store on Main Street. Ah, that's a pretty cool store. I think it's women's clothing and Half Moon Bay stuff. Definitely a cool store. My wife and I have been in there a couple times. Love it. Good call. Fresh donut holes from a real old-fashioned family-run bakery. Yes. I mean, we've been on this a few times before. I'm sorry, Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts. Those are East Coast import fantasy fake donuts. Those are not real donuts. Those are cotton candy whipped up into the shape of a donut.
Those are hedge fund donuts.
Thank you. Exactly. Is Vanguard involved? I'm sure Vanguard owns a piece of
Vanguard
Dunkin'
Bakery.
Donuts. Exactly. But if you want a actual pastry, a donut that is a pastry that you maybe need to cut with a knife, we have several bakeries in town that will fit that bill and are way, way better than the corporate bakeries. Okay. And that does it for today. Another show in the books. Hey, you know what? No, I'm going to do it right now because nobody called in. Here are the six restaurants, and we will
Let me guess.
Okay.
Do you know them already? I guess you probably do. So,
yeah.
Crab La Ding, which was landing with
Crab La Ding. Yeah.
Crab La Ding.
But hold on, you have to say it like this because, in a kind of pejorative way, I hated the name of that. Crab Landing.
The California flavors. It was flavors.
Flavor, yes.
And then it was fish house, some kind of fish house sushi. There was a sushi place, and then there was a fish house. You got to give me those. That's four.
Pillar Point Fish House, I'll give you, but sushi place, not good enough.
Yeah,
we're looking for the names of these.
Those guys said that they invented the California roll in L.A. in '64.
Yeah, and where are they now? Gone.
They're probably back to
go back in LA.
This is
tough
market, guys. Go home.
Stay with your sushi roll or whatever. What's working here?
Okay, so what's five?
Okay, so here we are.
Yeah.
Here we are. Crab Landing, what you got? Flavor, what you got?
Yeah.
Impressions, the super pricey freshness restaurant, which lasted about a week.
Okay, that's part of the okay.
Sweetport, which was
the one underneath.
Sushi house.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Pillar Point Fish House, which is the abalone thing that never even got past the soft opening. And now they don't have a name yet, which is part of the problem. Something around the name of Oceanic Prime House.
Oceanic. I wonder where they got that.
Well, Oceanic, clearly they're leveraging the Oceano.
Why don't they just call it Oceano and connect to the hotel? You have a built-in... in fact, I figured that's why they want the RV park, so they can send people to this restaurant.
Absolutely.
They're kind of a captive audience, right? They're not going to hook up and go out to eat. They're going to walk over there.
No, we better. 100% Mojo. Jim, I know we can talk all morning, but you know what? People want to get back to their music, and I will be back. Guess what?
Right.
I'm
going to
be
own.
Flying solo next week.
Right.
It's just me.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Bring
a
helmet.
listeners, you might want to turn in just to hear the slow motion car wreck that's going to happen next week with me running the board.
Right. Record that for me.
Okay. Hey, have a great holiday. This week, and I will talk to you next week on Coastal Windage.
Happy holidays.
The talk of the coast.